Praise the Lord. Well, as Pastor Bill said, our wonderful pastors are, you know, it is never stop, basically. And they are meeting with, we have regional directors all over the United States that help with our RMAI ministers, our alumni, and they all do it for nothing, just out of the calling and goodness of their heart. And so they come together once a year there at the meeting, and they talk over some things. Of course, Brother Doug, Brother Tony over there with them, and Pastor Craig's with them also. So we just thank God for them and their, as they're together. Praise the Lord. It's just, but Pastor Ms. Hagen constantly giving of themselves. And, you know, it's interesting that when you get to, I've been blessed to be able to travel lots of different places. And you know, some places there where you run into ministers that have, you know, fairly good sized ministries. Not as big as this, but that's kind of my point. Fairly good sized ministries. And the leaders, you can't get access to the leaders. In fact, I know in one ministry, it was a 3-month wait for one of their pastors to get an appointment with the head of the ministry. And our pastors are here Sunday morning shaking hands, you know. They're not being whisked away or anything of that sort. It's just a refreshing and amazing thing and a great thing to be a part. Isn't, I don't know if you ever thought about it, but just thank God. You ought to thank God every day that God brought you here and got you a part of this place. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of great people out there doing a lot of great things for God. And we thank God for every single one of them that's doing anything in the body of Christ, right? But we do thank God for where he has placed us. Glory to God. Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to open up to Hebrews chapter 4. As I've said to you before, I've been spending a lot of time in Hebrews. And there's a couple key words, if you will, and key phrases in the book of Hebrews. We talked about one of them being the word better, that we had that the kingdom of God and the covenant that we have a better covenant that's established upon better promises, and that we thank God for that that covenant, that word better that we have. But tonight I want us to look at another phrase, and I'm trying to find my list. I've got them marked here, but I just want my list here. Is that all right with you? It doesn't matter if it is. I'm going to find it anyway, so just hang on here. All right. Oh, there we go. All right. I kind of jokingly, I cannot say that I originated the title of this message or originated this. In fact, I heard somebody preach on this years and years ago on a lesser, just using three scriptures. But tonight, the title of our message tonight is God's Salad Bar. God's salad bar. Now, how many of you know it's important to mix a salad in every once in a while? I'm not a rabbit. I'm not going to live on it. But, you know, we are told, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, that we should be properly nourished up. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, there's some phrases here in the book of Hebrews, and I jokingly call it God's salad bar. But you'll see from the very first verse that we read that why I call it that. But there are things that we because we are Christian, and because we already, it's not about whether or not you're going to heaven, not about whether or not God loves you. Because sometimes people get nervous because you start talking about, here's what we should do now that we are a Christian. And they say, oh, you're wanting me to work. Yeah. Yeah. Your life should be changed. We should be living differently. We should be being conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Right? And so these are things that he tells us that we should be doing now that we are a Christian, and things that will help us. Now, anytime God asks us to do something like this, you realize it's because he loves us and he loves people. And as you and I incorporate these things into our lives, we're going to be more attractive to the world. Now, I know that maybe some of you don't think about the world that much other than to curse it, but we know we're here to reach it. That's why we're still here. And we're citizens of heaven. We're ambassadors here. And so let's start here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Now I'm reading from the King James. I told him today in class, the King James Ding Tad Authorized Version. Meaning I kind of change, I take the these and thous out. But you'll see why it's God's salad bar. Very first phrase, let us. All right, good. You got that laugh over. We want to get to what it's talking to us about, but that's where the salad bar comes in. Let us therefore, the King James says, fear, lest the promise of being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Again, this is written to Christians. There is a rest in God. There is a place of rest in what Christ has done. You know, in that day, God had told him, he said, I have given you, go and possess the land. I've already given it to you. But because of doubt and unbelief, they didn't enter in. They didn't enter into his rest. See, living by faith is entering into resting in what God has done. Because faith says God has already done it. I'm just reaching out and taking hold of it. It's already mine. Jesus has completed the work. But it takes this godly reverence. Let's fear. We're never told to be afraid of God. We're told to reverence God. This term, let us fear, reverence God. In other words, what do we mean by that? We are in awe of God's presence and we tremble at his word. In other words, we take his word and that's the most important thing in my life. So as a child of God, there is a place of rest that God wants me to enter into. God wants you to enter into. But it's possible to never enter into that. It's possible to come short of that. But we can partake of the reverence of God and the reverential fear of God, if you want to call it that way. And that is that we love what God loves. We hate what God hates. And we say, God, let you are true. Let everything else be a lie. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning. And you know, this was a subject that I'm blaming it because of my immaturity in the things of God. But for many years, I didn't have a revelation of what the fear of the Lord was. I didn't have a revelation of this. It was not active in my life. Because one of the things that happens is when you deal with starting to reverence God, it puts things in order. So I realize it's not about me. When I reverence God, I realize all the glory belongs to him. All the honor belongs to him. And I am totally dependent on him. But in my dependence, he has told me to do certain things such as reverence him. Reverence for God will get rid of pride in your life. Those areas in my life where I'm trying to do it in and of myself, see. Notice it's entering into his what? Rest. The rest. How did God enter into his rest? When he finished, he rested. Right? We talk about the Sabbath day rest. Well, God had done his work and he rested. So he says here, let us therefore fear, or let us therefore reverence him. Now look at verse 11. Here's the second thing we are to do. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now what's that tell me? It's going to take effort on my part and your part to believe. We're going to have to fight to believe. Because everything in this world is trying to talk you out of your faith. Everything in this world system is trying to keep you from believing. The devil doesn't care if you come to church. He doesn't care if you come to church. He doesn't care if you read your Bible. He doesn't care if you pray. He just doesn't want you to believe it. Amen. Man, I kind of grew up, you know, in church and being there all the time. But, you know, the idea of actually believing and then acting upon what was said was foreign to what I was taught. It was interesting when I was handed that little green little mini book, green and white mini book, The New Birth, and I read in there, and the things that were said by Brother Hagin, the only thing that caught me off guard was the idea of going on and actually acting on that by confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I believe God raised him from the dead. I mean, I had quoted the Apostles' Creed thousands of times in my life, it seemed like. I know there's probably not that many, but by the time I'm 19 years old, I mean, I knew where to find it. You give me that hymnal that we had, I can turn to it. Number 738, the Apostles' Creed. Some of you know what church I'm talking about now, but number 738. And we read that. I believe in God the Father. You know, I used to like that part about Punchy Pilate. When I was little, I didn't know who this Punchy Pilate was. Pontius Pilate, you know, Punchy Pilate. Reading it. Amen. I don't know if you guys, Amanda grew up in that same church. I don't know, but when we were little, us kids, my two sisters and I, there wasn't enough hymnals for everybody. So we just kind of sit there and like everybody else, instead of just boldly declaring it, it was like, so we just do that. But I heard that all my life, but nobody ever said, you need to act on this. So we're going to have to labor, and it's a labor of faith. It's a labor of not works where you're trying to earn it, but to labor, you're going to have to me, it means this. I'm going to have to work to hold on to my beliefs, because everything in life is going to try and steal that beliefs. I mean, in this last 2.5 years with this, you know, COVID-19 issue that's gone on around the world, you've had to fight. You've had to labor to hold on to your belief in divine healing and health. Amen. When good people, you know it, good people around us died, you had to labor to hold on, to not question God. Amen? And to question your very core of our belief. Look down here in, I didn't list this one, guys. Look at verse 14. I've got it marked in my Bible. Same chapter. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast. I mean, we need to have a good helping of holding on to our confession. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Hold fast. Verse 16, let us, I love this one, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, boldness does not mean arrogance, right? But we do have a boldness because of the position. You and I are adopted as sons of God. It's a position. We are adopted. We have joint heir with Jesus Christ position. We're seated with him, in heavenly places. We're joint heirs with him. You are a king and a priest unto God. And you have the right to come boldly to God's throne. To find grace to help in the time of need. Mercy and grace, glory to God. Coming boldly to the throne. Coming boldly, let us. But notice, we have to come. Amen. Have you ever been to a salad bar, any of you? Don't you have to go up and serve yourself? Right? You know, I've seen people that they'll order a salad bar to go, and they'll have the staff there put it in a box. The staff will go on and put it in a box. They're not there. And I'm like, what in the world? I don't want anybody picking out what I'm going to have off the salad bar. Amen? Now, the only time that type of thing works for me, now you can ask man, I don't want her, don't make me a plate, I can make my own plate. But there are times in life and ministry where you get to where somebody's going to make you a plate and give it to you, and what do? You rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I'll never forget the first homecoming I attended at Second Baptist Church, New Liberty, Kentucky. Now, let's just be flat honest with you. Second Baptist Church, New Liberty, Kentucky, was the African American church. Half a mile up the road was First Baptist Church. And it was, there was a segregated, I mean, and this town, guys, they've been through there. This town has got a bank, and it's got Trusty's little place there where we used to go and eat lunch after we took our money to the bank from the church, and these two churches, and that's about it. But my friend from Rhema here, Pat Butcher, who we prayed for here not that long ago, who's doing, is recovering and looked good on Easter. I saw a picture of him. During Winter Bible, he had the cardiac incident and died, and God's raised him up. Glory to God. But when he got out of Rhema, that church needed a pastor, and they asked him to come fill in, and he filled in there for a year. Well, in the process of that, I went there several times, and I'd sit up there in the choir with the deacons. I mean, this was, these folks, they I love these people. You know, one time though, I'm sitting up there and I'm in the choir lot, and I'm sitting next to a couple deacons there, and the church service is going on. All of a sudden I looked up and I was like, I'm by myself. What happened here? And I looked out and the deacons were having a smoke break out on the side of the church. I saw a cloud, but it wasn't the glory. But they love God, you know. Brother Hagin used to say he won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there, you know, smoking. But we had this homecoming. I mean, they brought buses in. The size of the town had to double at least. They brought buses in. People came in, and of course, I was there. I had gotten to sit there. They'd actually, at this time, they'd gotten to know me well enough. They'd asked me to say one of the prayers during the service. So I got to do that, you know, and so we're sitting there, and they had ushered us all into this. They had this little house that was part of their whole situation. Everybody else is outside, but they brought you, and one of the church mothers made you a plate of food, and it was no small plate. I'm going to tell you that right now. It was packed. It was stuffed. It was mounded up, and there were things in there I probably wouldn't have chosen. Amen. But you ate it all. You ate it all. And then you knew dessert's coming. They're going to bring it to you. Amen. Those times are okay. But he's telling us in these times, let us do these things. Let us come. Let us partake of what he's talking about here. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, leaving that, these fundamental things, he lists the six fundamental things here that are should be basic to everyone's foundational beliefs. Let us go on unto perfection. Perfection or meaning maturity, not laying again the foundation. And he mentions repentance from dead work, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. He said, let's leave those principles and let us go on. What's that tell us? I need to be constantly growing. I need to constantly be pursuing God, pursuing the revelation from God. I need to know more tomorrow than I know today. From whom? From God and his word. What God called me to do next week, next year, is going to take greater knowledge and greater revelation, and it's going to take more grace and more ability from God to do than what I'm doing now. God is a God of increase. Have you noticed that? He's a God of increase. And Smith Wigglesworth made the statement that if you're not increasing, you're backsliding. In other words, to him, it ought to be a constantly going forward. Let us go on to maturity. Paul told the Ephesians, we have to grow up. Now, I know people like doing this, so let's do it. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, grow up. Go on, Franklin. You didn't tell anybody. I saw you. Franklin is so nice. Franklin is so nice, he cannot bring himself to look at anybody and say, grow up. Where's Poteet? Is Poteet here tonight? You'd tell George that, wouldn't you? There, look over and tell George to grow up. There you go, Franklin. That way. That's my brother. There you go. All right. No, but we are to go on and grow in the things of God. Grow in those things. All right. Hebrews chapter 10. We're partaking of this salad bar, if you will. This admonition. These admonitions from the word of God to leave when we, most of the time you notice it's going from one place to another. It's a decision that we make to partake of some things and that we need to partake of. We're told here. Notice that none of these have been a divine suggestion. They have all been, this is what you should do. This, do this. All right, here in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He's talking here about how Jesus has provided a new and living way for us to have a relationship with God. And so as he told us before to come boldly, he's telling us again, let us draw near. Draw near to God. Don't ever allow anything, even if you would mess up and not walk in love in a situation, don't go, run away from God. Come to God. Draw near to him. Draw near to him. You know, maybe you know, through God, that God through Jesus has delivered you from things, delivered you from habits, delivered you from all kinds of stuff like that, and you get tired and you get worn down as the devil's, he's going to stay after you, and in that area, maybe you fell again in that area. Don't ever run from God. Listen, I'm telling you, draw near. Draw near to God. Now, if you stay near to God, then those things, even though they might come, they're a whole lot easier to deal with then. But draw near to God. Don't go away from him. We have access to God by a new and living way, glory to God, through Jesus, our high priest. He goes on to say in verse 23, here again, as we mentioned chapter 4, verse 14, he says it again, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hold fast on the faithfulness of God. Hold fast on a God that he's not a man that he should lie. Hold fast on a God that if he said it, it shall come to pass. Hold fast on putting that into your mouth and speaking what God says about your situation, and hold fast to it. Hold fast to the confession, the profession of your faith. Saying what God said, agreeing with God's word concerning your situation. Hold fast to that. Amen? See, these are things, all these things, we should make these, if you will, let me say it this way, part of our daily diet. Every day this should be part of our daily diet. And then in verse 24, he says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. It's not about just me. It's not about me. It's about my brother and my sister. I am supposed to consider them and help provoke them to love and to do good. Right below that, he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Let us. Amen. I know some folks, you know, and I can be this way. I have to watch myself. But God, it's funny, I can be this way, but God called me to be totally different than I am. I can go and I could spend all day and days with what I call my carnal trinity, me, myself, and I, and never interact with another person and not be sad about it. Amen? But then God calls you in the ministry, and you think God would make me a traveling ministry, you know, so that I can just blow in, blow up, and blow out, you know, not have to spend time. But no, he puts me in a pastoral role, and then brings these students from all over the world that I have to interact with on a daily basis. Let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. Some of us, maybe it's a little harder to work on that one, but let us consider one another. You know, one thing we should consider is the walk of love. Heard Brother Hagin say this over and over again. Consider this. How is what I'm about to do, about to say, how is that going to affect my brother? Love works no ill to his neighbor, Romans 13 says. Well, let's consider one another. Let's consider that. I'm about to do this. How's that going to affect my brother? How's that going to affect the other members of my church? When I do something in the church, well, that pastor or that person goes to Rhema. Well, now everybody at Rhema's done what you just did, even though they didn't do it. Let us consider one another. Let us consider one. Now, I'm not saying let's be afraid of doing what's right, but let's consider one another. Let's take each other's well-being into account. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Brother Bill mentioned him, you know. There's Miss Phyllis, Miss Barbara there. Our brother Nick is in that great cloud right now. Right? We know where he is. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, he's one of the best dressed people there. Brother Bill and I, you can ask him. We'd stand there and he'd come down here for prayer and said, the man knows how to dress. He always looks sharp. Always look good. Praise the Lord. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Two of them here. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside the weight and the sin that's holding you back. Let that go. Lay that aside. Don't let that hang on to you any longer. All right? Why? Because we have a race to run. Lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. Sometimes, you know, the weight is just wrong thinking. It's wrong attitudes. It's wrong, you know, wrong attitude is the mental awareness that you have or mental state going into the situation. Sometimes that's causing you to not win because you think you're going to lose before you ever start it. Amen. I know in coaching athletics over the years, playing and coaching, you know, even with little ones, you know, and the baseball and basketball that we coached and around here with all these kids, you know, I look at them now and, you know, they all bringing their own kids to church with them. You know, I don't feel old. Amen. I'm not old. I'm more experienced in life than you are. Amen. But, you know, is getting people, and Pastor Hagin talks about it so much, is getting people to see themselves winning before they ever take the shot. See themselves. You know, get that child. I don't care, you know, who they are. They may never have the opportunity, but let them go out there and on their little Tykes basketball hoop and let them count down, you know, count down from 5, 4, and let them take the shot. They miss it 100 times, but boy, that one time they make it. Let them see that. Let them start seeing themselves making that winning shot. Making that pass that leads to the game winner. Making that defensive play. The hardest sport that I ever saw this in was in coaching golf. College golf. And I would talk. I got to be around the coaches from ORU here and from Tulsa University, the men's and women's coaches from there. And, you know, I was just kind of getting started, so I kind of picked their brain. And, you know, one of the things that the coach at ORU said, you know, the hardest thing in the world is to get that driver out of these guys' hands because they want to hit it on every tee and they don't need to. They can hit it far enough, but they hit it all over the yard instead of in the fairway where they could score. But the other thing was to get people to look out at a hole. And instead of seeing the hazards, was to see, as we had one fellow here who was a PGA professional, and he was here at school, and he helped me coach. He'd say to see the opportunities. He said, here's the difference. He said, I've gone out there and I've watched these guys play. He said, you like, and I always like to play with them. He said, I've noticed you go out there and you hit the shot that has the greatest opportunity. The other guys are being cautious, trying not to hit it in the hazard. Well, that's a mental state. See, believe you're going to win every time. Lay aside the weight of defeat. Lay aside the weight of failure. Lay aside that voice that says, you can't do it. You're not going to make it this time. You might have done it before, but no, it's not. No, lay that aside. Lay that aside. And remember, there's a grandstand of people who live by faith in heaven cheering you on right now, saying, go for it. Lay that aside. Hallelujah. And run the race. Let us run. 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 The race that is set before us. Every one of us has a race. Every one of us, there's a plan of God. But he said with patience, consistent endurance, consistency, let us run, glory to God. Chapter 12, look at verse 28. Talking about how we've come here. We didn't come to Mount Sinai. We came to the new heavenly Jerusalem. We didn't come to the law. We came to grace. Amen. And he gets down here in verse 28 and says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let us have grace. Be a daily partaker of the grace of God. Daily partake of it. God's ability, God's favor, God's empowerment in your life. Daily partake of the grace of God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He says, God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. What is it? Well, how do you humble yourself? Say, God, you've called me to do this, but I can't do it without your help. But I thank God I'm not without you. I lay hold of the grace of God. I'm going to have your grace today. Partake of the grace of God. Partake of it on a daily basis. Then our last two over here in Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 13 says, Hebrews 13:13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Jesus was put outside the city. He shed his blood. He suffered without the gate. Because why? Because what God, and he's calling us to come out. Come outside the camp, as it were, of the world. Come outside of that supposed safety of conforming to what the world wants you to do, and be transformed. But be ready, you're going to have to bear the reproach that he bore. He said the world will hate you because they already hated me. But the early disciples, we read this about them, that they counted it a great honor to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. And we're at that time where we have to stand up boldly and say, God is true, everything else is a lie, and I'm a follower of Jesus. He's my Lord, he's my Savior, and he's good. And then we get to verse 15, and this is the dessert that's at the end of the salad bar. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. After all that other, we're going to end it all with praise. Don't ever forget to end it with praise. It'd be good to start it with praise, but always end it with praise. No matter what it is, thank the Lord. No matter what it is, give God thanks. Amen. Let's stand up and do that right now. Let's thank his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks in this place. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Glory and honor. Glory and honor and praise be to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our prayer team's coming right now. As we continue, just thank God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank God right now for where he's brought you from. He's brought you from so many different places. We're here. God has worked in all of our lives. Not one of us has the same testimony except this, that God is good. Hallelujah. And that God is faithful. Hallelujah. We don't have the same story except the story of the cross and the story of the resurrection. We don't have the same events happen in our life except for what Jesus has done. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise and honor. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Bless you, Father God. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you. And we speak and declare your name. Jesus. Jesus, we declare your name. Help us, Father. Help us, Father, to partake of what we, having fun, called your salad bar. Let us see these things that we might walk in them And as we walk in them, may your plan and your purpose be fulfilled in this earth. The whole earth full of your glory, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're here tonight and you've known him in the past, but you've walked away and you're just not living for Christ the way you know you should. It's not that you turned your back fully, but you just got life has happened to you and you need somebody to pray with you. Our ladies over here on my right, your left, the men over here on my left and your right, they're here tonight to pray with you for any need that you might have tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. If our connection team would find our first time guests and go with them, get them that special gift if you haven't already done that. Hallelujah. I recognize they all raised their hand, but I recognize it's good to see you all again. I saw you in class today. Good to see you here tonight. Amen. Let's welcome all of our first time guests again. Give them a big, big hand clap. Gentlemen, are we clear with all that we need to talk about? All right. Sunday morning. We'll see you here. God bless you. Have a great night.